people I could call up to the front. Ben and Nathan are probably the two that don't want to be up here the most. So thank you guys for doing that. Now we're continuing our series in the Sermon on the Mount this morning. We're coming to a part of the sermon that, much like the last time I was preaching, when we talked about, well, what did I talk about the last time? Anybody remember? No? We went through Matthew 5. Does that give hints to anybody? Matthew 5:43. We're talking about, actually, that was the first time. The last time we were talking about how we ought to love our enemies. And one of the things I said was, that might sound like an easy thing to do, but in reality, it's pretty hard. And the same thing can be said about our passage this morning. The passage this morning in your Bible could be titled something like, do not worry, or do not be anxious, or depending on what translation you have. But the idea is that we shouldn't worry. Now, is that an easy thing to do? No. Again, the concept is an easy one to follow along and an easy one to get, but when you try to put that into practice, it's just really not that easy. Especially if your name is Greg McCallum. There are two things that I really... how do I say this the right way? There are two things in Scripture that I really can't do when Jesus asks us to do them. One of them is be patient, because I'm not a patient person at all. And the other one is don't worry, because I'm the kind of person who worries about everything. And I know God has to do, and God is doing, a whole lot in my life to help me kind of overcome these two points of change that I need to have. Worry and be patient. You know, when Paul lists patience as one of the fruits of the Spirit, whenever I read that passage, I think, you know, Jesus, why did you have to put that in there? You know, same thing with this. Every time I read the Sermon on the Mount, I ask Jesus, why do you have to talk about worry? You know, couldn't it be something else? Because this is one of those passages that really touches my heart every time I read it. But you know what? We live in such a society that's so based on conjuring up worry, don't we? Our society wants us to live a worry-free life today. There are so many things that our society, that companies around us offer in order for us to live a worry-free life. Here's a few. State Farm Insurance has a social media campaign on right now called #worryfree. All right? A hot link internet provider promises a worry-free internet experience. Kittle promises worry-free smoke alarms. Car companies offer worry-free driving warranties. ADT Security Systems has a worry-free summer sale right now. Google offers the Chromebook, which they call a worry-free laptop. Kindle readers for kids have a worry-free 2-year warranty with them. There's worry-free weed killer, worry-free bank accounts, worry-free vacations, worry-free virus protection software, worry-free investments. I don't get that one. Or worry-free audit support. Again, I don't get that one either. Or worry-free remodeling for your home, and on and on and on it goes, right? Companies offering this slogan to be worry-free in order for you to buy their products. When in reality, that's not really how life works, is it? It's almost like our society wants us to be worried about everything so that it can make us feel better about ourselves by using their products. This is a very tactful marketing strategy, isn't it? Because as soon as a company makes you think you ought to worry about something, they've already got you. Because they're saying, use our product, and you won't have to worry about life. You know? Go out and buy Shreddies, because you won't have to worry about life. You know? Drive a GMC. You won't have to worry about it. The truth is, though, that's not how life works. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34. If you're not turned there yet, you can turn there with me. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I love Jesus' closing statements in these sections. We're going to come back to that later on. In fact, we're going to spend a lot of time on that later on. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that the truth? First off, though, here in the first half of 6:25, Jesus speaks about the futility of worship. Of worry. That would have been bad. Speaks about the futility of worry. He commands his disciples, therefore, in light of what I've just said, i.e., which master are you willing to serve? Where does your treasure really lie? Talking about fasting and giving to the needy in secret so that you're not like those who are seeking attention for themselves. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Jesus says it's silly to worry. It's silly to worry because worry is futile. But we so often get caught up in worry, don't we? It's so easy to fall into worry. But what we need to remember is that no matter how much we worry, worry cannot change anything. And this is the lesson I need to learn in my own life. As much as I worry, and I'm a guy, so I try to fix things. Right? Any guy here not like that? I envy you if you're not like that. In fact, just yesterday, Addie broke a toy. And my first response was, can you give it to Daddy so I can fix it? Right? No matter how good or bad my skills are at fixing toys, I might not be able to do it every time. But no matter how much we worry, we can't change anything. Now, Jesus is telling us that all the worry in the world cannot possibly change anything. All we do when we worry is get ourselves upset, and the only change brought on by our worry are negative changes to our health and to our attitude. Anybody have a bad attitude when they worry? I do. And that's one of the things I know that I need to change with this whole worry thing. Now, this is such a hard principle to get, isn't it? We worry all the time. Just a quick survey here. What are things that we worry about? What are things that we worry about? Let me know. What do we worry about? Finances? Yeah, that's like the top of the list, isn't it? Health? That's like the second on the list, isn't it? Exams? Yeah, what else? Our kids? Sometimes. Actually, if you notice, Evan's parents aren't here this morning, so he can say that. Yeah, those are kind of the big ones, aren't they? Finances, right? Health, your kids, if you have kids, if you worry about your parents, that's great. I mean, we worry about what we look like in the morning, right? We worry about the tasks that we have to do at work that day. We worry about the exams and projects we have to do at school. You know, we worry about whether or not our kids have slept long enough, right? We worry about how hot it is outside. We worry about not having air conditioning in our house, and how much we're spending on fans and on, you know, electricity. Ironically, I was worrying about this message this week. That's how messed up I really am. It was so funny because, you know, Monday, Tuesday, I like to really just sit down and read through the passage that I'm going to be speaking on and really just kind of think about you know, where I'm going to go with things. And normally by the end of Tuesday, I kind of have a bit of an outline, at least in my mind, of where I want to go. By the end of Tuesday this week, I was like, I have no idea. And I started to worry. Wednesday rolls around, right? Thursday rolls around. And finally on Thursday this week, it hit me. I'm worrying about a passage that tells me not to worry. And that's when God just really showed me, you know, Greg, maybe you just need to not worry about it and allow me to speak through you. We just bought a new vacuum back in January. And I will admit to you, this was the most expensive vacuum I will ever buy in my life. All right? We need a new vacuum. We didn't need this most expensive of a vacuum, though. To the point where I've worried about how to pay for it. We're now into July, and we're still almost have it paid off. That'll tell you how expensive it is. It's a great vacuum. I would recommend it to anybody. But that's one of those things that I've been worrying about since January. You know? I'm one of those people who, when it comes to finances, I wouldn't call myself a numbers person, but when it comes down to it, I really am. And when the bank account gets down to, you know, lower than you want it to be, that's when all the signals go off in your mind, right? And you start to worry. You know, are we going to have enough money to go to the grocery store next week? You know, are we going to have enough money to get the kids the new pool shoes that they need? When it's also just dumb, right? Because God's going to provide that anyways. God's going to provide that for you, for me, like he has always done, you know, for the past 36 years of my life. Not once has God let me down. So why do I worry about it? I don't know. But I can tell you this. The issue is really about focus, isn't it? Where does our focus lie? Andy Stanley once did a message from this passage, and he said this. He said, the things that you are most devoted to are the things that determine what you will worry about. Jesus says that the things you are most devoted to fuel the things and parallel the things that you worry about the most. In other words, he says, the thing that you worry about the most is the thing that you are most devoted to. The thing that you are most devoted to will determine what you worry the most about. So what are you most devoted to? Are you most devoted to your finances? Are you most devoted to your health? Now, friends, just catch this, though. That's not to say we shouldn't be concerned about our health. We shouldn't be concerned about our finances. Because we all need to be good stewards of our finances, of our health, of our families. But when those things rule your life, rule your mind, they're really taking away from your focus. They're really taking away from your focus on Jesus. And again, that's not to say those things aren't important, because they are. But we need to remember that, as Jesus is going to say here, tomorrow's a new day. And whether those things are here today and gone tomorrow, Jesus will always be there. The things you are most devoted to will determine what you worry about the most. Let me illustrate this for a second here. I'm not worried about your job. All right? You can go to your job or your school and do what you need to do. Now, again, if you were to come to me and say, you know, Pastor Greg, I lost my job this week and I need help. Of course, I would help you out with that. And we would help you out with that. But in the day-to-day stuff that I'm not there for, I don't really worry about that, right? I don't worry about the meals that you serve your kids, right? I don't worry about the clothes that you put on in the morning, right? I'm not worried about your finances. But really, where does your focus lie? Is it on the things the world tells you you need to have, or on the things you think you want? Are you devoted to the things that aren't worth your time? The thing that you worry about the most is the thing that you are most devoted to. But Jesus then goes on in this passage to give us two illustrations about how ridiculous our worry really is. 6 verse 25, the second half of 25 and 26. We'll read it real quickly here. He says, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Friends, we've got to live a distinctive life. We've got to live a life that's different from those who do focus and worry about these kinds of things. Again, Jesus gives us two illustrations, right? Clothes and birds. Now, Jesus asks some rhetorical questions here. Of course, we all know our life is more important than food, and our bodies are more important than the clothes we wear, and our life is more important than birds. Worrying about the results of a medical test is not the same as worrying about the sale price of our next pair of jeans. The point of the illustration here that Jesus is making about food and birds and clothing is this. We've never seen a bird plow a field or store its food in a barn. Has anybody seen that? That'd be a pretty impressive bird. But no, we haven't. Birds are not people. They don't pay attention to growing seasons. And as a rule, God just takes care of their needs without their help. Jesus makes a point to say that God feeds them. And then he asks another rhetorical question. Are you not much more valuable than they? God loves his creation. God loves every bird that he's created. And God takes care of them to the point where he actually literally provides food for them. And are we not much more valuable than they? Of course we are. And despite our attempts to store up our own wants and stuff in our own barns and secure our future in life so that we can live worry-free, the reality is we can't bring it with us. Right? Have you heard that expression before? You can't bring it with you? The truth is, no matter how much we store up in this world, it's all not really worth anything. Because when we're gone, are our kids going to want it? Are my kids going to want my collection of U2 music? Probably not. Right? I mean, it matters to me. It's not really going to matter to them. Luke 12, if you can just turn there really quickly, is actually a parallel to Matthew chapter 6 here and this talk about worry. Some scholars say that it's actually Luke's interpretation of what Jesus is saying here in this passage in Mark 6. I'm not exactly sure if that's the truth, but anyways, you'll see what I mean here. Start back in verse 13, though, of Luke chapter 12. Jesus gives an amazing parable about this idea of you can't bring it with you. All right, let me just read through this for you. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" What a great question. Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." There's a knock in the head. And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you... Pardon you, then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." What are the things that we worry about? We worry about the things we don't have. We worry about the things that we don't have and the things that we want. And why do we want those things? I mean, it could be for many different reasons. But oftentimes they fall into the category of just stuff. Stuff that we're storing up in our barns. And our barns are getting bigger and bigger. And the truth is, again, we can't bring it with us. So, again, come back to the circle here for a second. Why worry about stuff that we can't bring with us? Why worry about stuff that's so temporal? We've got to live a distinctive life. We've got to live a life that's much different than what society wants from us. What does society want? Society wants us to be rich. Society wants us to have. Society wants us to build bigger and bigger and bigger barns. And barns for our cars. And barns for our toys. And everything else. But you know what? God wants us to focus on the things that matter. Why worry about stuff that's not everlasting? Why worry about stuff that is not eternal? What we should be focused on is the plan that God has for our life. So what is our plan? What is our ambition as a follower of Jesus? This was a great thought, actually, that I found in one of the books that I was reading about this passage. The ambition of a Christian. And we're talking about the plan for your life, but it's got to be so much more than just a plan, right? It's got to be something that we want. It's got to be something that we come alongside God with. Actually, no, that's not true. It's got to be something that we allow God to come alongside us with, because he's already got the plan, and make it our ambition to see that plan fulfilled. So what is a Christian's ambition? Everybody's ambitious to do something, aren't we? Often starting in our early years. I wanted to play in the NBA when I was a kid. That was my ambition. That was my plan for my life. Then I got to high school, and there was like 50 people who were way better than me. That wasn't God's plan for my life. Matthew 6:27. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? What's our ambition? Our ambition is not to add moments to our life. Our ambition is to live for eternity. Remember how I said at the beginning of this series that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us a lot of good principles to live by. Remember how I said that in the first week? But there's also a lot of theology tucked in here. And this is one of those moments in this section here, verses 28 through 32. And I love this section. Jesus is talking about God's providence. Anybody know what that means? A providence, the root word is provide, right? How God provides for us. Because this is what this whole worry thing is about. God will provide. That's a promise from God. He's going to provide for us no matter where we're at in life. And this is a great illustration of how God does that. Now, Jesus is telling us that our lives are in the hands of our Heavenly Father, and because of that, our worry cannot add a single second to our lives. Our days have been appointed by God. Our birth and our death have been appointed, but the problem is that we don't know what happens in the middle. So we worry about it. So, as Jesus says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Of course, Jesus is making mention of Solomon, king in Old Testament days, who was like the greatest person ever to live. You know, God asked him, what do you want? What did he say? Wisdom, right? And God gave him literally everything else as well as wisdom. And Solomon went on to be a great king. And if you can picture Solomon in his best, you know, dress, all done up, this would be the picture of what it would be like to have success. But Jesus is saying, even compared to that, there is so much more beauty in God's creation. There's so much more beauty in God's creation, and God provides for that creation. If God, who clothes the flowers in all their beauty, how much more will God take care of us than the grass which is here today and gone tomorrow? Our ambition should not be people of little faith. By the way, what does it mean to be someone of little faith? Here Jesus says, verse 30, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field which is here today, gone tomorrow, and tomorrow thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What does it mean to be someone of little faith? I'll tell you. It's a person who's torn between placing complete trust in God as provider for your needs and our own endeavors to store up our own needs. Where does your trust lie? Does it lie in the providence and the provision of God? Or does it lie in your own ability to store things up for yourself? 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. God cares about even the little things that we worry about. God also cares for the big things that we worry about. God cares that on Tuesday, Ramon's going to be going into the hospital for a very delicate surgery. God also cares that Addie broke her cup. Right? I mean, the two are way in the other end of scales as we would see them. But God cares for both. Because God cares for us when we're hurting. God cares for us when we worry. That's why Peter tells us to give all our worries and cares to God. Because it matters to him. You see, we only have two possible ambitions in life. One can be ambitious either for oneself or for God. There's no third alternative. Once we're clear that God is king of our lives, we become ambitious for the spread of the gospel, for the spread of his kingdom and his righteousness everywhere. Our focus is on what God is doing, not on what we are doing. Our focus is on the things of God and not on the things that we worry about. You see, when we start to focus on the things of Christ, on the things that God wants us to be doing, you'll notice very quickly that your worry level will go down. Because you're focusing on the things that God wants you to focus on, not on the things you don't have. You're focusing on the things that God has for your life. And as we start to turn our focus on the things of God, we'll start to see the cure for worry. 6:33 and 34 here in Matthew are two amazing verses. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I appreciated that Will picked out that song today. Seek first his kingdom. You see, this is not a three-step process. It's actually much better than that. It's a one-step process. Right? I'm telling you this morning that you don't have to do 3 or 12 things to get rid of worry. You have to do one thing. What's that one thing? You've got to seek the kingdom of God. But seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, the issue, to steal a point from earlier, is about focus, isn't it? One author said this, "Jesus' disciples are not simply to refrain from the pursuit of temporal things. Instead, they are to replace such pursuits with goals of far greater significance. To seek first the kingdom is to desire to enter into, to submit to, and to participate in spreading the news of the saving reign of God." Seek first the kingdom of God. If you do that, again, your worry level is going to go down. Because you're not going to be focused on the things that you're worried about. You're going to be focused on the kingdom of God. You're going to be focused on expanding the kingdom of God. And what a great thing to be focused on. Jesus tells us that nothing we're truly searching for in life can be found outside of him. If we put our energy into deepening our trust in Jesus, we will have everything we really need in life. Simply put, if you want to stop worrying about the things of life, make your life about Jesus and not things. If you want to stop worrying about things in life, make your life about Jesus and not things. Colossians 3:1 tells us, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Set your hearts on things above where Christ is. What a great statement from Paul. Because we've been raised with Christ, because we're in relationship with Jesus, we have to set our eyes, set our life on the things of Christ, on the things above. Again, it's all about focus. If we focus, if we seek first His kingdom, if we set our hearts on things above, our worry level is going to go down. And this should actually be the first thing, not the third thing. Pray. In fact, I've left you three blanks there to put the word pray in three blanks. Pray, pray, pray. If you're worried about anything, pray. If you're worried about finances, pray. If you're worried about your health, pray. If you're worried about your kids, pray. If you're worried about how hot it is outside and you don't have air conditioning, pray. Maybe God will send rain. I don't know. Paul, again, in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul is basically telling us that the opposite of anxiety or worry is peace. And he says, if we pray, if we focus on the things of Christ, we're going to have the peace that only comes from God. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus." Let Jesus know your worries. Let Him come alongside you with the peace that only He can offer. Prayer takes the focus off of us and puts it back on Jesus. Prayer is us saying, "I can't do this on my own. God, I need Your help." And sometimes we just need to be saying that. Sometimes we need people who know our place, who know our standing. Because oftentimes we try to do it on our own. But we can't. And we need to ask God for help. And then Jesus gives us one final charge here. He says, "Therefore, in light of all I've said about worry," He says, "do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Isn't that the truth? You see, God has everything under control. And no matter how bad our days get, God has it under control. And no matter how much we worry about tomorrow, Jesus is telling us that we need to forget about that. We need to focus on today. We need to focus on what God has for us today. D.A. Carson, great author and speaker, once said, "Today's grace is sufficient only for today and should not be wasted on tomorrow." It's like he's almost saying that we can't carry over grace. We've got to be asking for grace every day. We can't build up a stockpile of grace. But the cool thing is that God offers us grace day by day. This is why Jesus asked us to pray earlier on in chapter 6. "Give us today our daily bread." We didn't talk about the Lord's Prayer in this series. And maybe we should have, actually. Maybe we'll do that another time. But Jesus asks us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." He doesn't say, pray this way. He doesn't say, let us have leftover bread from yesterday. He doesn't say, pray to make sure you have bread for tomorrow or next week. He says, pray this way. He says, "Give us today our daily bread." And he's saying that because we need to focus on what God has for us today. The truth is, we have no idea what tomorrow will bring. It could be a whole new adventure that we had never suspected to happen. And today has enough trouble to wade through. Jesus is not wanting us to lose focus on what God has for us today with our worries about tomorrow. God may be planning great opportunities for us today, but we will miss out because we're too focused on tomorrow. Friends, we've got to remember, tomorrow is in the hands of God. So rest in His grace and seek Him today. Forget about the worries. You know, I've given you a couple things to do, right? Focus on God, pray. Another thing I didn't say, but I'll say it right now, spend time in God's Word. You know, if you're ever down in life, this is the place to be, right? This is the place to be. Spend time in God's Word. That will take worries away. Pray, friends. I mean, it seems like simple things. We all know it's not that simple, right? Because when you're down in the middle of it and just finances are, you know, way out of place and you're listening to me telling you, just pray, you're thinking to yourself, there's no way that's going to work for me today. You know? I just took out a third mortgage on... I didn't do this. I'm just using an example. I just took out a third mortgage on my house. You know, I've got like zero money. How am I not supposed to worry about that? But the truth is, friends, that the thing that we worry about the most is the thing that we're most devoted to. Again, hear me though. Like I said earlier, I'm not telling you not to be good stewards of your money, not to be good stewards of your time. But don't allow those worries to take the focus away from your relationship with Christ. That's why Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If we put our focus on Christ, we're going to see those things fall into place. We're going to see those things come back to the way they should be, because God will bless our life. You'll see the kind of blessing that God will want to give you. You'll see the kind of blessing that God has in store for you if we're focusing on him. Let that be a little bit of a preview for next week, by the way. As we talk about what the kind of blessing life can be. Seek his kingdom first. Pray. It's as simple as that. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, thank you for this time today. And God, I don't mean to simplify problems here this morning. I don't mean to try to underestimate issues that people in this room might be going through. Because life is hard. And we put ourselves in situations that make life harder. But the really awesome thing that we need to remember is that despite all these issues, despite all these problems, if we have you in our life beside us day by day, we'll start to see that these problems really don't matter. We'll start to see solutions to these problems as we seek your kingdom first, as we pray, as we read scripture. Father, allow us to be people who we see in our lives the worry level coming down because we're seeking you. We're putting our focus on you first. We're praying first before trying to fix it on our own. Father, we thank you for that reminder today. In your name, amen.